Blitzarfs jacks the three. That's good. There's Matty Rocci through to Sarah Blitzarfs. The lane opened up for her. Amy Rocci. A 1-2 with Bishop. Now along the baseline. Sarah Blitzarfs. Cole draws the double team. Swings it up top to Bishop. Blitzarfs free down low with the easy make.
Oh yeah, we've got used to that sound, haven't we? Sarah Blitzarfs, she does it for the Opals, she does it for the Southside Flyers, and she does it very well regardless of where she's playing. And she joins us for Ego Power Tools. Think outside with 56-volt Ego Power Plus outdoor power equipment. Sarah, welcome to SEN.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there's a lot of good basketball movies out there. Pardon me for a second, but we're talking about great sporting movies. Have you got one for us that you go to?
I'll tell you, like, one of my favourites would be the Dennis Rodman doco, for better or worse.
Oh,
that was just incredible.
You know what? I don't think I've seen that car. I've read both these. I think he's got two autobiographies that I've read. But if the doco's any good as those, Sarah, it'd be colourful viewing.
It is a very emotional show, but it's definitely worth the watch. I just feel like I want to jump into the screen and give him a hug afterwards. That's how good it is.
Hey, now your Southside Flyers, of course, are champions, and you opened your campaign in tremendous style over the Bendigo Spirit. Did it easily, and so did you. Well, it looked like it anyway. 27 points to go with 11 rebounds. You've just picked right up where you left off.
Yeah, look, I tried really hard that game. It was good. It was quite nerve-wracking to begin with. I think playing in front of friends and family again and the crowd, it was very unusual because obviously our last 2 years have been very disrupted with that due to COVID. So it was super nice to, I guess, get that out of the way and, you know, play and, super happy with the result.
How did you reflect on the Olympic experience for yourself? You initially missed out and then a last-minute call-up when Liz withdrew. How was that all for you? Was it an emotional roller coaster?
That could not be described any better. It was, it was hard because I got cut from the WNBA as well as the Olympic team pretty much within a week of each other. So I was not doing too well. It was, two of your dreams getting taken away from you and... it was very hard. And then, all of a sudden, you know, getting the call up for the Olympics and trying to change your mentality from borderline hating the Opals to I'm really excited to go to the Olympics. So it was tough. Like, I won't lie. I'm super honest about it with everyone. It was very hard. But going to the Olympics was such an unreal experience. And it was almost like a massive reward for everything that had happened that year as well. So I couldn't be more grateful. And like I said, it was just such a cool experience.
So the WNBA trial and going through that as well, I mean, everyone's dream would be any basketball to make in the NBA, the WNBA. But what was it like? Was it brutal for you? Can you reflect on that with us?
It was a good experience. It really was. It definitely made me change the way I play. I became more of an aggressive player because obviously the girls over there are double in size as they are here in the WNBL. So it was a good learning experience for me. It was quite eye-opening just to see, I guess, the change of style over there. And I think I'm very grateful for it, even though, you know, I didn't make it. I still feel like I improved a lot as a player. And, you know, getting cut from both teams made me an angrier player. And I think that's something that I actually needed.
What's involved in a tryout when you're trying to make it? I mean, can you take us through a typical week schedule?
Yeah, well, it's quite intense. So you basically train every day. I think we get a day off maybe once every 2 weeks or something. And basically you're doing gym, you're doing on-court individuals with you and the coach for, you know, maybe half an hour, and then it's just a full-on team training for 2 hours. I was with Phoenix, so they were an easier training camp compared to most because there's a lot of veterans on that team. But I know that a lot of other WNBA teams will go and have a lunch break and then come back out on court for another 2 to 3 hours and train again. So I'm kind of wrapped that I was with an easier team because I couldn't even imagine training 5 to 7 hours a day on court.
You mentioned family earlier, Sarah. You obviously come from very good stock. I mean, we know your brother plays for Geelong, but both your parents played at a high level in the sport. They played nationally, they played at Olympics, they played at World Championships. So who do you play more like, your mum or your dad?
Well, I look more like my mum out on court and the way I run and jump and stuff. So I get those comments quite a lot from people like, gosh, you play just like your mum. So I'll have to say her. Other than that, you know, I think I've got my dad's mentality a little bit as well out there. So it's quite nice, though. I quite enjoy having parents that both played.
Yeah, it is, and it must be magnificent to have. And how are they in the practical sense in terms of advice or support and all that, given the fact they've been there and done that, albeit in a different era, of course?
Yeah, no, super good. They are. They're really good. I think advice, especially when I was younger, you know, you're super happy to have and stuff. But I think as you get older, they kind of realize that coaches take over. And I guess we hit a point where it's like, I don't want to listen to you guys anymore and just be mum and dad. So they've been really good. I think they've helped me a lot. I had a massive knee injury a few years ago and they've both had knee injuries. So going through that, they helped a lot. And then also, yeah, getting cut, it was like just nice to go back and lean on them a little bit as well.
And on Monday, you were named, and congratulations to you, Sarah, the 24-player squad for next year's FIBA Women's World Cup, which will obviously be held in Sydney. That's September 22, 2022. So with that in mind, just going back to the Olympics, there's been a long-standing rivalry with the USA and you've run them close historically, not quite the case in the quarterfinals at Tokyo. So is there a bit of a gap to make up there with Team USA?
Yeah, absolutely. They're just our biggest rivals and, oh, you know what, they're just so arrogant too. So it just would be so nice to beat them. But I know, but we can't at all go into Worlds thinking that USA, USA, you know what I mean? There's a lot of great European countries out there. I mean, Japan are now a force to be reckoned with too. So, you know, we just got to focus. You know, the lame old speech of one game at a time that everyone hears, but it's literally true. You have to actually focus on one game at a time. And hopefully we get a chance to play USA, and there'd be nothing better than playing them in a gold medal match either.
So, Sarah, just on that, how does that arrogance manifest itself? Is it just a bit of lip out on the court, or how does it come across?
Oh, just, yeah, it would be a bit out on court, just the way they walk around. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, they just, you can just sense it. You know, you just pick up vibes. You can just see it. So it's just one of those ones that's like, gosh, I would just love to beat them down.
Yeah, Sarah, I apologize for doing this because you can't do an interview often without your brother coming up, but we've got a lot of texts coming through this morning asking you where he plays his best footy, because a lot of Geelong fans get frustrated that he's thrown all over the park. So where does he play his best footy?
You literally are asking the wrong person. I seriously don't even know the football rules properly, but look, I think he's most comfortable in the back line, and I think he likes, you know, tagging up and having that kind of goal to have for a game as well. And you know, he's really lucky because he's super versatile. So he's needed, you know, if the ruck's out, he's needed there. If someone's out in the forward line, he's needed there. In saying that, he'll probably hate me saying this, I probably wouldn't trust him too much in the forward line. So not sure if I want him kicking goals, but, you know, throw him in the back line, he'll be fine.
A sibling can say that, Sarah. No dramas whatsoever. So domestically, just before we leave you, as I said, you've opened up very nicely. You've got the Melbourne Boomers on Saturday night, your crosstown rivals, and it looks as though it's early days, but, geez, you're forming a nice little 1-2 punch with the new recruit Abby Bishop down there.
Yes, I am so grateful and rapt to have Abby on our team. She is such a nice addition. You know, she's super long. Her arms, she can block anyone. She's super smart. She can shoot from outside, score inside. Just a great person to have on the team. So, yeah, really rapt with that. And, yeah, looking forward to playing the Boomers because they're going to be a very tough matchup. And, like you said, crosstown rivals. So we have to get the win there to just get bragging rights, I say.
Have to. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Loved it how candid you are, Sarah. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with, obviously, this Saturday and the season beyond and some big international dates that you've got locked in as well. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Sarah Blitzar's there. Sarah was here for Ego Power Tools. Think outside with 56-volt Ego Power Plus outdoor power equipment. The Blitzar's, what a sporting family.
Oh, how good. And just great people as well. How refreshing was that?
Yeah. Mark is very much the same. I haven't met or spoken to the parents, but I reckon the apple wouldn't have fallen too far from the tree. They are a great sporting family.